Welcome to Simple Sustainable Home. I'm Rachel, the blogger behind Milk Glass Home. My focus is all about making sustainable living easy and beautiful. We're going to slow down and learn about cooking from scratch, gardening and preserving the harvest, setting up a low-waste lifestyle, and keeping a non-toxic home. We have new episodes every Saturday to help you find new tips and strategies to make simple living easy. Let's get started. Hi there, everyone. Welcome to Simple Sustainable Home. This is Rachel, and today we're talking about something that nobody wants to talk about. We are talking about money, specifically really getting a handle on our budget. And I don't know what you're expecting from this episode. I don't know if you're like, oh, she's just going to tell me to stop, you know, going out for coffee, or I don't know, she's going to tell me no more avocado toast. I'm not interested in any of that. That is not, when I see those things, I think this is trash advice. This is not good advice. This is not real world advice. Money and debt is way bigger than that. And there's a lot of stress that goes into it. I want to help you realize that there are some things that you can do to help you save money and live more sustainably at the same time. But then we're really going to start talking about becoming a conscious consumer and how making this perspective shift can really help you slow down that buying. So this episode is for people who are like, oh my gosh, I keep telling myself I'm going to stop buying stuff, yet I still have packages coming to the door. Or when you check your budget at the end of the month, if you check your budget at the end of the month and you're like, oh my gosh, I went over in this category again. You know, if you're that person who's trying, you're really trying to get a handle on this, but it feels like nothing you do is working, we're going to talk about that today, because there are some mindsets that come from living in a hyper consumeristic culture that we need to process. I have some tools for you. I have some tips. So hopefully you're going to find some great strategies today to help you spend less money without feeling like you're depriving yourself. If you're like, I have no idea, Rachel, why I would trust you to talk to me about finances. I get that. I am not an accountant or a certified financial planner or anything like that. I will say that I am a former credit counselor. So I literally did have a job helping to sit and talk to people about their debt and their budget. So I would spend sometimes hours with people going over their budget, their income, their debt, their financial hopes and dreams to help them figure out what they needed to do to get out of that situation. And that experience was so eye-opening for me because I realized that money is one of those topics that nobody wants to talk about. Nobody wants to admit that they're struggling. Nobody wants to admit that they're in debt. Nobody wants to admit that they don't know what to do. And people would typically reach out at the point where it was so bad that they couldn't sustain it anymore. And if they'd called or reached out or asked for help months or even years before, it would have been a lot easier to improve their situation. But they're so ashamed. They feel so much guilt about struggling with their money and making, you know, going into debt that they hide it. And I just imagine what sort of physical repercussions are there for stifling that stress and judgment and shame in your body for that long. I don't think it's good. I think it's probably pretty bad and really unhealthy. And I've heard so many people share that their relationship is strained by money. I remember talking to so many wives that would say, you know, I really want to talk to my husband about this. And he literally shuts down. And I cannot talk to him about getting on a budget or dealing with the credit card debt. Because a lot of us carry issues and ideas about how to manage your money with us from childhood. And so many of us don't really know what to do with our money, and we don't know how to stay out of debt. Like we feel all of this judgment from ourselves, imagining these other voices, often like parents and teachers and other adults in our lives as children. And we bring that with us into adulthood, and then we get stuck where we are literally stifled and cannot talk about it. And that's why I want to talk about it. We're living in a world of hyperinflation. You know, we are living, who knows if this is going to be another type of depression. We have no idea exactly what it's going to look like. We've been living in this weird middle ground for years now with no clear financial security. So we really have an external motivator to get a handle on this stuff. And so many people are trying to figure out how to live on a little bit less, how to shrink their grocery budget, how to reduce their utilities. When I'm researching like topics for my blog online, so many things are coming up about living frugally because that's where a lot of us are. And for today, we're going to focus on really trying to get some practical tips that we can try. And especially because this is about sustainability too, a lot of things about sustainable living blend together with saving money or reducing your spending. You know, these topics really marry very well. So I want to share tips with you from the sustainable living world. And I also want to share some of the things that have been working and not working for me, because all of this research, all of this work that I've been putting into talking about this topic and writing and creating resources around this topic come from my own struggles with it. And it's frustrating to say that I'm somebody who is really good at budgeting and I can help people get out of that. And at the same time, there are times when I realize that it feels like I don't always have total control over my spending either. So I want to share the things that have really worked for me and have helped me spend a lot less money, because you know, if this is working for me, I'm hopeful that it will work for you too. But I'm coming at this from a lens of a credit counselor who has a background in sustainable living, and as somebody who's been in the mud of this very specific topic and has some experiences that she can share with you. Over the past few years, I've really been watching my spending attentively because we bought a house, we bought our first house, and we were kind of entering this new stage of our lives together. And I wanted to make sure that we weren't, you know, there's something, I think of it as lifestyle creep. I don't know if that's the right term, but you know, I got a good paying job and my husband got a good paying job. And we were like, okay, so we've got to be careful here, because what normally happens is your spending will increase to match your income. So if you're not really thoughtful, you're going to notice that you're spending more and more, and you're not going to feel it because you're like, well, I have the money, but you could be using your money a lot differently. So we've tried to be really thoughtful and notice when that happens, because we don't want to do that, right? We want to try to pay off my student loan debt and save up so that we can move out to the woods and build our own farmhouse, that kind of thing. And so over the past couple of years, I've really been watching the spending, and I've noticed that it seems like I have a constant to-buy list. There's literally always something that needs to be purchased. And I couldn't understand at first, is this just normal new homeowner, I need a bunch of stuff? Or is this something else? So I've actually started going through every 6 months or a year or so, I'll really try to look at my purchases. And, you know, if you're purchasing on Amazon, it makes it pretty easy to go in and say, like, what have you been buying? So I would log into different accounts and I would search my email to see what did I really buy. And as I looked at it, I can tell now, and the reason why I say 6 months or a year is that right away, you're probably still using that item. But then in 6 months or a year, you tend to notice if it fell off and it became something you didn't use anymore. You know, right away, I might say, this is great and I love this product. And then 6 months later, it's like, oh, actually, it kind of got damaged really early on and we had a problem with this issue. And you can tell, you know, was this a good purchase? And as I did that, I realized that there were things I'd purchased that I never actually used, which was really frustrating, right? Like, I want this money to be used properly. And I always try to be practical. I always try to be practical, and I will reason my way into anything. I can justify how something that's completely impractical is practical in some way. I'm very good at this. But looking at everything and realizing actually, I was buying stuff that I was not using that did not feel good. I was not being sustainable. I was not making good financial choices. And now I have stuff that I have to deal with. And, I'm a big advocate of using your local Buy Nothing group. The Buy Nothing Project is really like a community building group where you exchange things that you no longer need in your community. And the whole idea is that so many of us already have so much stuff that instead of buying new, we should just share that wealth with other people. So I've been putting all kinds of stuff on my Buy Nothing group. And I have to say that when I do it, I often think, wow, how much money did I just lose? Because here's something that I bought thinking it was going to be so great in my house, and I either never used it or I barely used it, and now I'm taking a loss. And I'm happy to share it with somebody else and that they're going to get this abundance, but I'm taking a loss here. We have to kind of pause and take a look at our spending and realize, are we truly being thoughtful with our purchases? Are we shopping in alignment with our values? Or are we noticing that we're overspending? And if we are overspending, the question is why? Is it because our budget is not adequate? First of all, hopefully we have a budget, right? Do we have a budget? If we don't and we're overspending, then that's the first place to look. The second thing is your budget adequate? For a long time, I would try to set myself up with a really intense budget because we want to get out of the student loan debt. We want to let go of that so we can finally move on. And so I'll make myself this really, really tough budget where we're paying as much as we can on the debt because we want it gone. And what happens is it's too much. And I don't build in room for me to buy things like experiences or to go to lunch or just to have money for things. So I'll keep the budget so tight that it just does not work for how we live. And then I don't understand why it didn't work. You've got to really take a hard look at your budget and see, is this actually livable? Is this a realistic plan? And are you going to be able to stick with that every month, or is it too strict? And then the other thing is, maybe you're having a little bit of a problem with it. Why is it that you are spending more than you want to in your home? And what exactly are you buying? Are these things you truly need? That's the next step. And that's really the lens I want to take today because I think that's how you start moving to become a conscious consumer. When you're really thoughtful, when you can kind of pull back the band-aid, right, and see what you're doing and look at yourself honestly and say, okay, what exactly is going on here? And how can I change? How do I want to change? I think it's actually really empowering. It can be hard to see exactly what you're doing, and you might feel frustrated if you're not where you want to be. But you don't have to stay where you are. But if you're not willing to look and dig and reflect a little bit, it's just going to keep happening. So hopefully today you'll get a few strategies to help you slow down, really assess what you're doing, figure out why that's happening, and take some actions to change. If you've been trying to transition to a sustainable lifestyle, you might be feeling a little overwhelmed. Like, how do you find the best products? How do you make the best choices? How do you do this without spending a ton of money? I think it's important to let people know that sustainable living is normal, actually, and it's way easier than it seems. Don't let people overcomplicate it for you or make it into something really confusing. People have been living sustainably for most of human history. They had to, right? They could not overextend themselves. They didn't have debt. They didn't have Amazon. They couldn't get whatever they wanted delivered to them in a day. They had to make the most of the things that they have and be resourceful. That's it. So I've created a simple tool called the Roadmap to Sustainable Living, where I'm going to help you see the five habits of sustainable living that are the most powerful. If you do nothing else and you just focus on these things, you're going to be saving money, reducing your carbon footprint, reducing the amount of pollutants you create, And that's it. It's really that straightforward. To get your own copy of the Roadmap to Sustainable Living, head to the link in the show notes and I'll send that directly to your email. All right, let's jump into a few practical strategies for you, because I know that I've talked a lot about understanding and thinking about your spending, and I want to give you some things you can actually do. Although I do think a lot of this is the thinking. You know, we've got to kind of wrap our minds around what we're doing with our money and be thoughtful about that. I like to reflect. I like to think. That's my comfort zone. And that's, I think, one thing that could be really helpful in this situation. But let's pause. Here are some strategies that could really help you stop spending so much money. And my very favorite one is to buy in cash. And I'm not that good at it, and I often avoid it, because when I buy in cash, I am so stingy. I don't want to pay for anything. I want it to be extremely inexpensive. I would like to hold on to my money and not give it to anybody else. Like, I am the stingiest person I know when I have cash. When I have a credit card, totally different story. You know, researchers have shown that when you spend with a credit card, you often spend 30% more, up to twice as much. You can really get yourself in a situation where you're buying more than you need when you use a credit card, because you are distant from that transaction. It's a delayed benefit or a delayed cost, right? In the moment, I can just swipe this card and get exactly what I want. And then later I'll deal with it. I'll just deal with it later. But when you have cash on hand, you're in that moment thinking, do I really value this item for $25, $45, $50? And one thing you can do, if you're not able to buy in cash right now, a lot of us are shopping online for lots of different reasons. But even if you're shopping online, before you press buy now, you can actually pause, you know, take your finger off of the mouse or off, you know, close that browser out and imagine yourself in a store. You're walking up to the counter, you have a cart full of all of these things, and the cashier says, okay, here's your total. You know, check your gut. Is your gut saying, yeah, that's a great price. I really feel like I should pay this because this is a really good value. Or is your gut like, oh gosh, it's a lot of money. You know, and if you have the cash on hand, you could even go to your wallet and take it out and look at that much money. You know, if there's anything you can do to make that transaction feel physical, you're more likely to spend less money. So see how that one works. And another really popular strategy in the zero waste community is to take a buying freeze. So let's say there's something you want to buy. And if you're anything like me, when there's something that you want to buy, it becomes this big compulsion that you want to satisfy. I want to buy it. I keep thinking about it and I kind of become a little obsessed with it. It's just how my brain works, and I don't think I'm alone in that. And what can be really helpful is to delay the purchase, because I'll get it in my head that I really have to have this product and my life will not be as good as it could possibly be if I don't have it. And I can really kind of trick myself with my thinking and try to twist it around, justify this purchase, when, you know, in a few months, I'm probably not going to really even care about this item. Or what's happened to me many times is I'll buy something new and then I go, ugh, I should have just bought this secondhand. Would have been a lot better deal. I can't even tell you how many times that's happened. So knowing that after I get past the stage of wanting to buy something, I typically wish I hadn't purchased it new. If I can kind of carry that into my purchasing, bring it into the moment of the purchase, then you can slow down. So one strategy, this is like the very first beginner step, is to sleep on it. You know, if you're really wanting to buy something today, wait until at least tomorrow to make that purchase. See how you feel in the morning. For me, I find that one night is not enough. If I sleep on it, I'm going to wake up in the morning and be like, great, today is the day I get to buy this thing. Woohoo! Not really helpful. Like, it just makes it more like a celebration. So it can be better to make yourself wait a week. And some people will even recommend waiting like 30 days to see how you really feel about something. I have a hard time waiting 30 days. I usually can wait maybe 7 days or 2 weeks. And often, one thing I used to try to do was write down all of the things that I would want, and I'd kind of check in on them in a couple weeks to see how I felt about it. And actually, I stopped doing that because if I don't write it down, if I don't remind myself of it, by the time 2 weeks rolls around, I've often forgotten about what it was I wanted to buy. So if I allow myself to, if I really care about it, I'm going to remember it, right? If it's really, really important, I'm going to remember it. And if it's not something I really care about, chances are it's going to disappear from my mind in those 2 weeks. So that's another great strategy, although it can be hard to do. Don't push yourself to do 30 days right away. Start with a day. I mean, even if it's like, okay, I wanted to buy something this morning and I'm going to wait until tonight, build in some time. Because what I think really has to happen is that we slow down the buying impulse. So a lot of us, we will have this desire to buy something, and we're so used to satisfying that desire. Like, think about the how the neurons in your brain are working. This impulse comes in and then we respond in this specific way. So when these new impulses come in, we want to keep doing that same thing. But we're trying to actually stop that habit. So we actually have to stop how our brain is thinking. We have to change the pathway that the neurons are taking in our brain. So if you try to go hardcore here and say, yeah, I'm not going to buy anything for 30 days, you're probably going to be miserable and you're probably going to fail. All we're really trying to do is build space. So if we see an impulse, instead of responding and buying it right away, we're trying to just build in a pause. That's our whole goal. And if we can start with a tiny pause of a moment, a minute, an hour, a day, then we can stretch that out and make it longer. And like I said just a moment ago, typically what I really prefer is buying things secondhand. And again, there's so many times that I will buy something new, and a month or two later, I say, that was a waste of money. I should have just bought it secondhand. Start by shopping secondhand first. That's a great strategy in sustainable living. That is actually the very first step on my roadmap to sustainable living. Because not only does it save so much money, it feels good. Like, you will leave the thrift store feeling like you got a great deal every day. And those products are going to be a lot less wasteful. They were not new products. You're basically taking things that were made to have one owner and you are giving it another life. If you can just simply start by shopping secondhand, you're going to save money and reduce your carbon footprint at the same time. Another thing you can do is actually just try to borrow what you need. So instead of going to the store, even instead of buying it secondhand, why don't you see if there's somebody in your community who could loan it to you? We often will borrow like a hedge trimmer from my in-laws. I borrowed their ice cream machine. We often will like to borrow things from people because there's not really a point in us having things that we use maybe once a year. So we don't mind maybe going out of our way a little bit and asking for that favor because it works out. We're part of a community. This is what families do for each other, right? So those are a few tricks that you can really try. If you take a look at the things you want to buy, slow down, try to buy in cash, try to build a pause between that buying impulse and the action. Start by shopping secondhand. And consider borrowing things instead of buying new. Realize that you are part of a community and people like to help each other. It feels really good to help each other. So give them that opportunity and don't feel like you have to own every single tool yourself. At this point, you might be thinking, Rachel, these are helpful, but I've maybe tried some of these or I'm struggling with something else. Like, this part isn't really what the issue is. I just feel like I can't really hold to my commitments to stop spending money. So maybe you're setting a financial goal and you're like, I'm going to save this much per month, or I'm going to pay off this much debt every month, and it's just not working. And you keep finding that you are buying things and you don't understand why. I would say in that situation, what I try to tell myself, and this was kind of eye-opening for me, was to say, I've actually been internalizing marketing messages my entire life. Right? Think about that. Like, we live in a sea of marketing messages. From being a little kid sitting there watching, Saturday morning cartoons, you're getting advertising messages and commercials and these representations of who you should be. Even if we're not thinking of it that way, we're often taking in these external cues about who we should be and what we should own from the media, from commercials, from music, from all kinds of things. Probably, especially if you are, honestly, I was going to say even if you're younger, but marketing has been really intense in our country since I believe the 40s. After World War II, there was this huge, huge push to try to, get people to buy stuff, like let's really get this economy roaring here. And I think that it kind of went a little too far. Think about Mad Men, think about all of the early marketing in the 50s that was happening. And it's just become more and more complex and refined over time. Now they incorporate elements of psychology into marketing training so that they're really trying to use your own brain against you. They're trying to figure out how you're going to think, how you're going to respond to things so that they can get you to buy as fast as possible. That's hard. Like, you kind of have to cut yourself a little slack when you realize. Not to say that the whole world's out to get you, but like they're all out to get your money. Like they really are. Businesses and brands are set up in a way that they're trying to convince you to buy, and they're sending you these subtle, often implicit messages. And we've been soaking in that our whole lives. I mean, I remember as a young teenager getting magazines and reading every word and looking at every ad and thinking about, how is it that these people are like this and why do they look like that and what do I have to do in my life to be like that? And I think that's more common. I think a lot of people have those experiences. And so, especially growing up with all of these marketing images, you have this idea of the person you're supposed to be. And often I will find that when I really want something, when I'm really craving something and I want to buy this product, I often have to pause and ask myself, what story am I trying to tell about myself? Who am I trying to represent to the world with this item? Because a lot of the times the items aren't really for me. They're to have a look, to have an aesthetic, to have a vibe, to come across a certain way. And when I realize that, it really makes me feel a little gross. Like, what am I doing? Why am I buying these things to make other people look at me a certain way? I don't know. I don't really feel very good about that. And I don't think that I'm alone with it. I think a lot of us are buying things because we want to present this image of ourselves. We want to come across a certain way. And I gotta say that after you buy that thing, you feel good. You're like, yep, this is me. I am this person. And finally, the world can see it by looking at me because I have this perfect lunchbox or the right shoes or my nails are done the right way or whatever it is. But it's so insidious and it's so fake and it's not real. You have a real response, you really feel it, it really feels good, but it is not real. And I'm trying to work on that. I'm trying to, investigate in myself where these consumer messages have become stuck with me. How much of who I think I am is really me, or the messages that I've been taking in from other people. Society often tells us a lot about who we should be and how we should act. But when you mix those messages with brand imaging, it becomes harder because you start to see who you are as a consumer. My role is to be the person who buys this, and to be a good mom, you buy these snacks or whatever it is. And we really have to work through that. It's not real. It is hurting us financially, it is hurting us physically. And it is not helping the environment in any way. The sort of constant consumer buying that we have, especially in America, is really harmful to the environment. And we need to slow it down. It's just not sustainable in any way. And it's messy and complicated to try to figure out where all of this is inside of you. But I think it's worthwhile because I would rather get in the mess and get confused and get stressed out, but at the end of it, become myself versus staying in this machine that everybody else is in and never really feeling like I'm myself. Like, I don't want to come be at the end of my life and not know who I am. And so for me, investigating this consumerism and my role as a consumer is part of knowing myself. I need to step outside of this model as much as I can to figure out who I really am and what really matters to me. Because I'm pretty sure it's not stuff. I'm pretty sure it's people and nature and connection and beauty. But what I think about most is stuff. And organizing stuff and cleaning stuff and decorating stuff and buying stuff. So that's got to change. And that's going to take some reflection. Over the past few months, I have been working on a special project, and it's a workbook called Becoming a Conscious Consumer. This workbook truly poured out of me. It was such a perfect balance of what I was working on and thinking about, and just a tool that I wanted to create to help people. And basically, in this guide, I'm going to help you no matter where you are in this process. So, if you're just starting and you're learning about becoming a conscious consumer, or you are at a point where you're ready to identify your values and start embracing the power that you have as a consumer. Yes, even you, even if you feel like you don't have enough money. And then after that, I'm going to guide you through some of the tricky trouble spots where you might realize this is actually harder than you thought. You're right, it is pretty tricky, but in this guide, I've really reflected on my whole experience of this process, and I'm using what I know as a teacher about learning new habits to break it down into simple steps to help you be successful. Right now, this program, this workbook, is actually available for free when you purchase the summer edition of the Simple Living Collective seasonal magazine. This workbook is not normally a free product. It is something I really spent a lot of time on and that I've refined, and I want to make this as useful as possible to as many people as possible. But right now, you can access it 100% for free when you purchase this seasonal magazine. That ends on June 20th. So, in the show notes, I'm going to provide you a link where you could get this magazine with articles from 29 other writers and creators to help you live a simple, sustainable life. And it will also include this workbook to help you become a conscious consumer. I hope you enjoy. Now that we have a little context here, I want to share a few things that have helped me in the past few months really make a shift in my spending. And I will say that writing the workbook was really helpful, right? I clarified my ideas and I really thought through what was happening. I could see where I was in the process and I could come up with a plan for how to change that. So that was really helpful. But one of the things that I needed to do was recognize why I was buying. And often I was buying things because I was bored. I was lonely. I wanted attention. I wanted to feel something special or have something to look forward to. And those are not good reasons to buy stuff. And I also realized that I was buying things to tell a story about who I wanted to be. So I felt like if I had this product or that soap or this bowl or whatever, that I could finally show everybody that I was this special type of person. And although I understand why I was doing that, and I think a lot of people do that, we're social creatures. We want to fit in. We want to do what other people are doing. But at the end of the day, I was not really honoring myself. I was doing something to make a look, to have an aesthetic or a vibe. And that's something I'm still working on because I do think that there's room for self-expression with home decor and your purchases. But where's the line between self-expression and trying to look like other people or to be trendy? So that's something I'm still working on, but realizing that I was telling a story about myself was a really helpful shift. So really pause and think about, what are you trying to achieve? What story are you trying to tell the world by buying these things or spending money on these products or services? The next thing that was really helpful and is probably what made the biggest shift, and part of why I even wanted to write this workbook in the first place, was because I realized I was breaking my commitments to myself. So I budget every month and I have spending categories and I know what I want to spend in each category. Just generally, I use a tool called You Need a Budget. It's really helpful. I just track all of my purchases and I can see how I spend. It's great. Except I was finding that I was always buying more than I needed. Like, I'd buy all the stuff I really needed to have, and then I go, okay, I'm good, I'm done. Like, no more furniture, no more home decor, no more whatever. I'm gonna be done. I'm not gonna be buying anything anymore. I need a break from this. And then I'd find myself on Facebook Marketplace messaging somebody about picking up a piece of furniture or like some cast iron skillets or whatever. And yes, all of these things are great and they were a great value. And I was buying secondhand and I wasn't spending that much money, but I just told myself I was not buying anything else and I broke it again. And what I've done is I made a commitment to myself that I'm going to listen to my gut. So even if it costs $1, $5, even if it's something really inexpensive, if my gut is hesitating and saying, ooh, I don't know, I'm going to listen to that. I'm not going to override it and say, oh, whatever, it's just a few dollars. It won't matter if I like it or not. I can tell I'm getting to the point where even those small purchases, if it's not something I truly want, I'm uncomfortable buying it. And so I'm trying to honor that. But I'm also hearing from my gut that I need to slow down and I don't want to buy stuff anymore. Like, my gut is telling me you need to tighten up here. And it's not that there's specific big things that I'm really concerned about. Like, we have some financial shifts happening. And so I can't tell if maybe I'm a little unsure about how that's going to play out, or if I'm just sensing the state of the world and I'm feeling like I need to tighten things up a little bit. But there's this part of me that's like, I don't want to buy anything right now. I just want to, you know, make sure that I'm saving money. That's all I really want to focus on. So I'm like, you know, my gut is telling me that that's what I want to do. So I'm going to honor that because I trust that my gut is operating properly. So really pause and listen to your gut. If you have a moment of hesitation about buying something, give yourself a pause. Say, you know, maybe I'll sleep on this. Maybe I'll come back later. And if you feel like you really need to stop spending right now, then take some action to do that. Like, listen to what your gut is telling you. One strategy that's been great for me that's a little bit different is I actually froze my credit card. So I've been in the middle of a subscription nightmare where I had ordered this dog food on subscription to get a discount. And now you cannot contact the company. They don't respond to email. You can't call them. You cannot update the shipping or the payment information. So I'm stuck with like hundreds of dollars of dog food that I really can't use. And now my dog can't actually use it because she's on food for her allergies. Like, it's a whole thing. So I was like, I'm going to freeze my credit card so that this finally stops. Like, I'm just going to do this. And somehow the payment still went through. That's a whole separate thing. But I wish I had frozen my credit card months ago because I've seen how many purchases I have set as subscriptions that I don't even really want. Like, every day I get an alert of, oh, this payment didn't process, so you can't get this order, or, oh, you can't get this thing. And none of the things are things I wanted. Every single thing is something that I'm glad I did not buy. And a lot of them are subscriptions that I thought I'd canceled, but I guess I just paused them or delayed them. And then they came back and I didn't realize that I hadn't officially canceled them. So just by freezing my credit card, I've already saved a bunch of money and I have stuff that's not coming to my house that I don't want. And I didn't realize how many little things I have coming. And often they're practical things like the supplement or whatever, but they're coming faster than they need to be coming. And so I really don't even need them right now. The only subscription I think I would keep is my dishwasher detergent that I get from Drops. That's literally the only product I've ordered on subscription that I have gone back to order more of. Everything else I cancel because I end up realizing I don't like it and don't want it anymore. How many people have subscriptions that they don't even want anymore? Like, would you even be using the products you had in your house if they just weren't showing up there? Like, would you actually still actively choose those products? I don't know. And even with Drops, I canceled my subscription. I only order when I want it because I don't like it when you get a whole bunch of stuff and it almost always comes way before you need it. Like, I would rather have that money. And when I'm ready, I'll make the purchase. So freezing your credit card can be a good strategy. I switched to using a different card that does not have any subscriptions attached. And in case you're wondering, I do use a credit card, but I pay it off in full at the end of every month. I just use it for basically online ordering because it's really consistent and easy. Anyway, the one last thing that I've been doing is that I've been asking myself if it's really a better deal to buy things online. So especially knowing that when you're buying online, you're having all kinds of marketing claims to get you to buy more, to get free shipping, or to get a bundle discount or whatever. When I'm shopping online, I'm often buying more things than I truly need just to get a good deal. And so this is a moment when you want to pause and ask yourself if you'd really pay this much in cash, or what I've been trying to do is buy things in store. So even if what I'm going to find in store is not exactly what I wanted online, honestly, you end up saving a lot of money and you can still make pretty good choices just choosing from what's available in store. And if there's something that you're like, I really can't buy this is not sustainable enough for me or whatever, then yeah, save that on a short list. It's like recently there were a few things that I needed to buy new, and I knew that these were things I'd buy new, and I saved those on a list, and then I placed an order with a company called Earth Hero, which is an eco-friendly company. It's like a zero waste store, but it's the best one I've ever found. They have everything on there. They have clothing and makeup and skincare. And I don't care about that stuff. I care about like kitchen things, cleaning supplies, things like that. So I was able to get new silicone baking sheet liners so that I have enough for the pans that I actually use. I had one and it was broken, so it was not really working very well. I was able to find a new shampoo and conditioner bar line that has actually been amazing. I might actually be able to keep using shampoo bars now since this works so effectively, but it was great that if I didn't find it in store, I just kept a very short list and said, okay, this is my Earth Hero list, and when I have enough, then I'll place an order, but I'm not going to buy until I'm ready. And that's just been really simple for me, and I'm finding that at this point, I don't really want to go to the store. I don't really want to buy anything else. I just want to make the most of my money. So I promised I would share the one place where I'm overspending right now. And that is actually on tools and programs to help grow my blog and turn it into a business. And if you're not familiar with a blog being a business, it's definitely a thing. And it's something that I feel so driven to work on. And it's been a single focus for me for months now, because I keep thinking, if I could turn this into a business, not only would I be creating content and talking about things that I care so much about and feel so passionate about, but I would also be helping other people. And that would allow me to live a life that feels really good to me. Like, if I was able to work from home and work on this blog, then I could just take care of the animals, I could work on the garden, I could take care of the home, I could focus on starting a family. Like, it just sounds like such a dream life for me that I can tell that I'm working on this at full speed ahead. And even though I'm spending more on that right now than I would necessarily like to, I'm also not spending on any of the other discretionary categories that I normally have. Like normally I have a budget for myself where I would pay for entertainment or, you know, clothing or whatever. And I've noticed in the past few months, I haven't even touched that. I have zero interest in any of that right now. I literally only want to work on this one thing because it feels that great to do it. And even though it's more money than I want to spend, I'm pausing right now and reflecting and thinking, oh my goodness, you know, a year ago, I feel like I had a constant list of things I wanted to buy. I was buying things that I didn't really need just because it felt good to have packages come to my house. Like this change is evidence that you can work through these buying compulsions and this desire to buy all the time. Like you can opt out of that. You can step out of that by following some of the strategies that I've shared. They do really work. I mean, they worked for me and I didn't think that they would. Like I did not know what to expect. But here I am on the other side of it. And I'm being much more thoughtful about things I'm buying. I don't want to buy anything anymore. I have zero desire to buy stuff. Even stuff I need, I'm like, I don't want to buy it. I have zero interest in that. I would rather save it up or invest it because I want to grow this blog to become something really big. And that feels really good. That feels really powerful. And imagine if you could clear that space out of your mind that is reserved with tracking laundry detergent and dish soap and toilet paper and all that stuff. And imagine if you could stop having to worry about buying so many things and you had time to work on a passion or a project or something else that made you happy. That's the whole point of this, right? To get out of that consumer model so that you can truly be yourself. That is the dream. And I feel like I'm finally able to walk in that, even some of the time. And it feels so good. And that's what I hope for you. All right, my friends, I am so glad that you are still here with me and that hopefully you have found some strategies, because I didn't want to just give you strategies here and I didn't want to just talk about becoming a conscious consumer, because I think you need both things. It's helpful to have some practical tips that you can employ at any point, no matter where you are in your journey. But then I really think that if you're trying to stick to a budget or you're struggling to stick to a budget, that you need to look at your relationship with buying in general. It is harder and easier than it seems, but there are tools out there for you. My workbook, Becoming a Conscious Consumer, really guides you through the process in a very gentle way. And I come from a place of non-judgment here. I've been there and I'm still working on all of these same things, but I can look back to where I was before and see what has really helped. But I know that times are tough right now, and I hope that this gives you something that you can do to take action and feel like you are closer to achieving your goals. I really appreciate you listening. It is such a pleasure to be able to share this with you each week, and I will see you next Saturday. Take care.